Blog Talk Radio.
Slogans in these rallies that are going on around the country.
And, you know, I just thought it's ludicrous. But, you know, it's just a sign of the times. You can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't.
I don't know, George. I don't think it matters, because whatever people are pissed off at, that's good, you know. And it should be shouted as far and wide as possible. Singapore is fine, or Hong Kong, but I'm just hoping that this. I really think that all of this is part of the awakening that we're experiencing right now. And I've been having some strange things happening myself, and strange feelings the last few weeks. And I what I've been reading and seeing, it seems like many people are. And I think we're coming to that edge, George. I think that Mayan calendar, cosmic energy aspect of this period is happening. I really do.
Lila?
I really do.
Lila?
Yep.
From a female perspective, are you doing a lot of dreaming now?
A lot of dreaming? Yeah, actually, I've had dreams the last 3 nights.
Okay. And is it not out of the ordinary, but...
They were personal kind of dreams. They weren't universal dreams.
Yeah.
They were more dreams of my past and reworking that. There wasn't really a universal theme to it.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm just curious if anything really strikes you fairly recent, you know, that, you know, I have to say I've been experiencing the same thing. It's like 3 days of good dreams, and I enjoy it because I have a situation where I dream normally. I'll continue a dream, you know, if I wake up and go back to bed, or even from one night to another night, and I've had this go on for 2 weeks.
Wow.
But, you know, it's just different right now, and I have a really good feeling in a sense like, you know, it's coming to an end now, and, you know, I'm just getting ready for whatever it is, but, you know, it's winding down, and it's a good...
today. And usually when I talk to people, their eyes kind of glaze over and they think, But the two people I talked to today, they sympathized with the people on Wall Street and agreed with what was happening and don't like what's happening in this country. And people are more aware than you think they are. And that's good. And that's a change, I would say. In 6 months, there's been an incredible change in people, I think.
Yes, huh? You know, Lila, you know, for the last 4 years now, Leo, you know, has sometimes political persuasion, and, you know, he wants to help this one and help that one, which is right, but, you know, you can only do so much. And
right.
Now, you know, it's not a matter of joining forces. It's a matter of giving them support without having to give up your time or, you know, all your energies for something that you're not going to get anything personal out of.
No.
But, you know, it's maybe devoting, you know, well, I don't know. How do you feel, Leo?
Well, I try to express myself as much as I can to support these factions. And I do it on Facebook. I do it on my website. I do it on the radio shows.
Does it matter, Leo?
I'm sorry? What?
Does it matter?
It matters to me, yeah. It matters to me because it's my way, rather than being there physically, which I can't be, I can at least support the movement. And I think that's important. Excuse me. Very important right now. Because I believe that the cosmic consciousness, if you will, is in high gear, you know, and I think that it's resonating with these people, and it's resonating around the world, and
it's resonating, catching their attention. But then
it
what?
Is. then it focuses into their actions.
Well, then you have a movement like what we've been having.
Right.
You know, people have to hear things 4, 5, or 6 times before they really begin to, before it penetrates their consciousness.
Yeah.
And then they'll think about it and maybe do some research on it. I can only hope that Leo and I have been one of those voices that's been repetitive enough to help people think about opening their mind to what's happened. And there have been many more voices longer than even Leo and myself, but many voices have helped us come to where we are now. And that is a movement in Wall Street. And that movement is becoming solidified, and it's spread to all over the country. But somebody had to start.
Well, it's all predictable, and we predicted that years ago. But it's something that's predictable. It's going to happen.
That's right, but it doesn't happen until you do something to make it happen, George.
Yeah, you have to keep pushing the rock up the hill.
You have to say something in order to make it happen. And when you say something, then people begin to envision something. Then when they envision something, they do something to make it happen. But you have to go through all those steps. I mean, it isn't that you imagine something in your mind that it happens. You have to have the idea. It's sort of like planting a seed. You plant a seed.
And following it through.
You water the seed. You weed around the plant. You put a support there, so that it grows straight and looks toward the sun, and that's what movements are all about. You plant the seed, you water it, you fertilize it, you put the support there, and it grows and it becomes something.
And I think what has happened, and I know that other people must feel the same way because I've read it and I've felt it, but those people like ourselves who have been pushing this and talking about it and angry about it and had a voice for the last 10 years in some way, and we've managed to push that ball, and with other people we've pushed it.
Many other people.
I think that we've done about 1,000 interviews over the last 10 years, and we've had all kinds of people and activists and even yourself, George, and other people who have just helped, you know, along the way to clarify things that are going on, clarify historical events, clarify elections, clarify
and to bring attention to the fact that so many things are corrupt.
Yeah.
And that's why people don't have jobs.
That's right.
You don't have a job because major corporations have sent those jobs overseas.
And they're keeping
keeping all the money for themselves.
And they're not investing like they would have normally. Because why should they? Why should they? Everything is for them to keep all their money.
And when you put out statistics like for every dollar that the average American makes, the CEO in the United States makes $459.
Right.
Whereas in Japan...
Lila, you are right. Leo, you are right. To be truthful, everything you're saying is right. And, you know, it's like the exposure. Everything is being exposed for what it is right now. And there's so many things that I could jump on the bandwagon and go with. But, you know, it would make my head turn because there's so many of them. And, you know, I found myself this week, honestly, so much is going on. Leo, I talked with you a few times about, you know, some of the earthquake activity that's going on in the world. I mean, it's scary because, you know, these were predicted before the times.
Yep.
Times are happening. But, you know, what can I predict, or what do I want to predict, or what am I going to draw to my attention? Because that's what it is right now. I am attached to whatever attention, whatever thing out there that's got my attention, and, you know, I just must follow the lead. So, you know, it's kind of confused, but when I say follow the lead, is that, I went out in my backyard today and just the closed off. I didn't want to hear nothing about nothing. And I just went out and with my two dogs, and we had a grand old time just looking at the flowers and whatever. And, you know, it's like I need this every once in a while. And I try to do this every day, but, you know, I think my whole life, I'm at a point now, there's nothing more that I can do or will do, and to be truthful, the time is now. It's the 12th hour, and, you know, if we're talking about Kellerman's work with the Mayan calendar, October 28th, that's it, my friend. But you know what? I'm enjoying what I have left, and I don't have time for all this washy-washy stuff that is right.
We got a caller, 614. Can we put him on the line there, George?
No, go ahead.
Let's see who that is. Caller, 614. Are you with us?
Yeah. Hey, guys. My name is PJ. Thanks for having me on.
Hi, PJ. How are you?
Hey, doing well. I'm calling you guys from Columbus, Ohio. I was just given a call. I was listening to your current conversation, and rather interesting to me. With all the turbulation, and we got Occupy Wall Street, which seems to be a hot topic tonight for you guys, et cetera, we have and as well as correlating with your topic of 2012 and whatnot, the ever-approaching date here for us. I hear a lot of different angles on this 2012 thing, but the one that I most common, well, that I resonate with, that I like to sort of follow along with, if you will, without a better way of putting it, is that we're looking at a big change coming in 2012. I'm not the doom and gloom guy that thinks that 2012 is just going to sink the battleship and the human race is over, live it up, guys, and spend all your bank accounts, et cetera, you know, get it done before 2012 because it's the end of times. I see that crowd out there. I'm more of a we've got a big change coming up. That's what I feel. And with all these people seemingly coming out of the box now that normally it seems wouldn't. I mean, we've got a war for 10 years. I haven't seen anybody out there worrying about loss of life and the damages, causes, effects, et cetera. I see largely a base of people that can't make the common connection there between their political views and what's going on in the world with this war, et cetera, and what they want to protest. So everybody's taking it out. Now it's down to the wallets, and it seems to be getting everybody out in the streets, you know, protest and Occupy Wall Street. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, Lila and I, when we started our first radio show, was back in March 03. And that was when, March 4th, 2003, we started our first FM radio show. And we had just come back from the first anti-war rally in Washington, D.C., that was in January, there were probably close to 500,000 people there in the dead of winter, and January 18th that year, and I mean there were hundreds of thousands of people with us, and that lasted one day, but you know I mean it couldn't have lasted more because it was just too damn cold. It was in a dead winter, but. But we started our show in February. Got approved in February, and started our show in the beginning of March. 2 weeks later, we attacked Iraq. All right, and all these people were dead set against going into Iraq, and that's what the whole rally was about. But it didn't stop anything, and there weren't enough people to stop it, and there wasn't the movement. Was continuing, but it wasn't strong enough, and the mainstream media killed it, and people like myself and others kept pushing and pushing and pushing and screaming and yelling on radio and television and everything else that we could get we're anywhere, my websites and so on, anywhere that we could.
Many other people too.
Yeah, of course, but I mean, you know, it's people like ourselves that started it, but we couldn't get people,
momentum.
The momentum, we were on the air for 10 years. popular
and radio. I'm still in the middle of the same battle. You know, my peers, the masses around me here in Columbus, Ohio, I'm not an antisocial guy. I'm willing to chat. I'm out there, and I'll tell you simply the support for anti-war, not necessarily the support for war, but add in anything in between there, apathy, et cetera, is in great deal, it seems to be the masses. And the theme I was going with more or less was consciousness and self-awareness coming into this 2012 marker. Some even say the Aztecs had it wrong, and it's actually 2011. Or maybe it starts in 2011, halfway through 2012, it peaks, and then at 2012 December, that's when things go haywire, whatever. There's millions of different ideas and angles on it. But what I'm getting at here with what I led into was that we have all these kids out here wanting to make change. They're very steerable. They still seem like the masses that I run into every day. They haven't made the connection for the past 10 years, and here they are. It finally hits their wallets, and they get out in the streets. It's people connected to the physical realm, to the physical world, more so or less to the extent where, I'm glad that they're making a noise about it. I'm seeing this marker 2012 coming up, and I've been watching for connections to make. But with this one, what I'm seeing is, well, these people actually are so involved in themselves and have, you know, spirituality in America seems to be almost at this point at a minimum, an absolute minimum. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm babbling.
PJ, right?
Yeah, that's right. PJ.
What you're saying is right. I mean, things are changing, even education. A junior sometimes has to look around and ask himself, I've been schooling for 2 years for a job that is obsolete now. You know, what's the hell, what's the reason for this? But, you know, let's deal with it from a not emotional aspect, a neutral aspect, and look at the turbulence that an earthquake would make on not only the people but the earth itself. You know, if you take a look at weather patterns, I mean, people are affected by what type of a day it is. If it's a sunny day, if it's a cloudy day, there is a link with the emotional understanding that the body is experiencing.
Absolutely.
So, it's all an illusion to begin with. But I think if you take a look at things that are happening, not good or bad, in an area, shows that there's some kind of influence in that area, neither good or bad, that's exposing itself. And, I'm making reference to, the volcano and the earthquake here in North America for the fact of how the activity has been falling on a line that possibly follows a trigger for a lot of things that are happening right now. So
George, can I just interject there? Because I want to say that what DJ is saying and what you're saying all comes down to the one thing that's happening. And that's October 28th is the cosmic consciousness awareness. That's the awakening. That's the period that the Mayans have stated is the beginning of the awakening. The end of the Mayan calendar actually is on October 28th. It's not on December 12th, 21st, 2012. That's the astrological date, okay? But the actual beginning of of this end time, okay, begins on October 28th of this year. And that is why we're seeing this worldwide awakening. When I continually quote this because I think it's so significant, is when Zbigniew Brzezinski, the founder of the CFR and, Trilateral Commission,
and the
Bilderberger, and, writer and author of Technotronics and one of the global masters, all right, global elite, stated that in the 2011 Bilderberg meeting that we are now going through a period of political awakening never before seen in history. And he said this period of time, he says, cannot be controlled. The population can no longer be controlled by financial or governmental systems. These are his words. And this is what's happening. It's breaking up. The Euro, I sent you this today, George, by the way, but an IMF advisor, an International Monetary Fund advisor, went on camera stating that Dave's got less than 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks time, unless the European Union comes up with a complete bailout situation. The entire eurozone will collapse in debt.
Well, I mean, what more do you want? I mean, you got to have that. It's all got to collapse in order for it to start up again, if you would want to start it up again.
But I'm saying, this is the end time prophecy that we've talked about for 4 years.
End to what? And let's jump a bit and understand that, you know, we're spiritual beings here having a human experience, and we call this evolution, and that's it's time where we come out of this two-dimensional realities, go into a fourth dimension, whatever.
What's happening?
I would just like to add one thing. I don't, and respond to PJ's comment about the fact that people are responding because it's hitting their financial resources. PJ, I don't think it matters why people respond.
Right.
I think what matters that they are responding.
Right.
And from that, they will be more open and they will grow. Because right in Wall Street right now are those people that you're talking about, the ones who are responding because it's a financial situation to them.
Right.
They are also mixing with people with other thoughts and other ideas. They will be
the
much more open to hearing those other things because they're rubbing elbows with those other people, and they would never have done it before. I think it's a wonderful thing, and I think it's a great opportunity.
But you've never before, I don't know, maybe in the Great Depression, but not since then, have you had 5 to 10 million people foreclosed on?
Right.
Okay, foreclosures. And there's hundreds of thousands of foreclosures happening every single week, every month. Okay, people are getting thrown out of their homes. All right. Right now, you haven't seen too much on mainstream media, but it's all over the internet and videos and everything about the run on Bank of America. All right. I mean, Bank of America has closed its doors. Virtually, we're not letting customers into their places in California and throughout the country, all right? Because
I can interject here if I can.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We were talking to Mayan calendar how in the 1700s, how the value for something of value, gold and silver and diamonds, you know, went from one time of value to a bank value where you can go to a bank and they would have more of the same. And then came the understanding of money. A bank would hold a certain something of wealth and give you paper that you can barter with that. Now, what I'm saying is that we've gone from banking, you know, to a paper currency. From paper currency, we went to magnetic strips. We talked about this, credit cards. So money is really not the what we need. It's all a magnetic strip. But understand, from the very beginning, it was all one big illusion. So, you know, we're at a point right now where the illusionary understanding of the magnetic chip is phasing itself out, waiting for, you know, its next chain in the evolution of something that we can't predict is going to happen, because understand that this time is going to be different because we're not playing with the same primers. We're playing with different primers, just like in a physical reality, there are 5 primers that we can relate to that relate to not only solid matter but also living matter. But beyond that, you go into different harmonic resonance with the universe. We also talked about Sirius as our twin star in the universe, where we travel back and forth from our star to the Sirius star, and it's been that way for many years, and old religions talk about this, but you see, it's understanding just a level above this, and it's like the Martian Earth Chronicles, Ray Bradbury wrote about the Martians. Actually, they took a thought, and they became that thought, and we are in a position now, the Mayans tell us, that it's we're co-creating our universe. We are co-creating everything we are seeing and it's being drawn to us like a magnet because we put it out there. So it's understanding that we are going to go to a different dimension where electromagnetic and the polarity is not going to affect us. So
we're in a period of dimensional transition right now. All right,
without a doubt, and you know, I couldn't even try to make some kind of a sense out of it, Leo.
Yeah.
Can you?
We're transitioning, and that is exactly what October 28th is all about. This period that we're in right now, all right, and for a few months into next year, all right, will be that transitional period, whereby by the time December 21st rolls around, that is the astrological date of the end time, when there will no longer be a sun, there'll no longer be anything.
I've heard it a couple times now that 2012 markers the end times. I happen to see it quite a different way. What I do in my research is I go out and I research UFO abductees, eyewitness accounts, anything that I can get as far as a lecture is concerned on the topic, because what I like to do is I like to compare notes. I like to take all the cataloged information in my mind, kind of put it together and take it against itself, et cetera. And in doing that, and it may just be my hopeful spirit or what have you, et cetera, but I don't see it as the end of times. I see it as an evolution point. I see the Mayan calendar as cyclical. I see it as repeating. I don't see it as stopping at any point. One thing I want to bring to the table. Can I bring this perspective to the table real quick, just as an angle, from the UFO abductees that I've went through, et cetera, with this 2012 aspect, what I found most interesting is that when talking about alien races, et cetera, and what they're ultimately dealing with, the Greys and blah, 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 is that their technology at some point outweighed their faith in their evolution, and multiple times throughout their evolution, this technology outweighed their faith, and it kept destroying them. It kind of repeats itself here on Earth. Every time technology, and I'm a believer in sort of the ancient technology wave that isn't necessarily accepted by modern science, just to give you that aspect as well. With this technology wave outweighing the faith, what the aliens ultimately had to understand in order to travel intergalactically and advance to the point where they are, and many say that they're unisex, they create bodies and new forms, et cetera, but to get there, they had to transcend that fact that their technology kept outweighing their faith or principles or understanding of their connection to their home, however you want to look at it. I see 2012, and what I get from a lot of the documentaries, the reviews that I do, is that the human race is going through this again for a multitude of time. And I think that if you look at the archaeological evidence, et cetera, it does support this with the technology booms that come and then the governments and races of people that just disappear, et cetera. You know, we're looking at a time where we have that option to either disappear or actually transcend this situation and understand that we have to reconnect to the Earth. And, you know, all these abductees, I tell you, one very common theme that I'm finding is that they're all coming back with a message of the Earth and relating back to the Earth or saving the Earth or in one way or the other, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know how much you guys believe in that or how far you go, but this 2012, I very much look at it like that, as these Wall Streeter kids out here, et cetera, are the people that are so connected to the wealth and to the material of this world that they don't understand what it is to go live in the woods, per se, and kill a deer and then process that deer and then eat that deer and understand that every single step is actually a step in how you eat. I don't know how else to put it, but I'll stop there. Sorry, guys.
No, I'm trying to get an understanding of are you defending or
No, I'm just, more or less, I'm just saying it's not the end of times. I'm looking at it as an opportunity for the human race to reconnect. I believe that it's the end of times for a lot of people. I'm actually, myself, just to give a little angle there as well, I prepare. I go to the woods with my family if I've got to, and I know how to live off the land, et cetera. I research it extensively on purpose.
I
practice it when I go
saying.
Out.
I understand where you're coming from. But I think from the standpoint that I'm looking at this is that we are just remembering that which we already know. I firmly believe that. And I do believe that, you know, this is something that we're consciously we've experienced before, and we'll experience again if we want to. And, you know, there are many legends understanding where karma and reincarnation come from. That was only a temporary thing that was thrown into our belief systems, you know, in under 20,000 years ago. But it was used because of the Luciferian effect on our consciousness. Once the physical world, the 3D world got a hold of us, we had a hell of a burden on our back. And, you know, it's a matter, we drew this to ourselves, so it's a matter of completing it. And this is only a temporary thing. So, you know, I'm not worried about it because I've been here before, and now I'm on the backward swing again, if you'd want to call it that. And it's going to the interdimensional realities that I've experienced before, but I also have an experience on that overtone of experience.
I think what you're saying here, and I just want to make sure that I believe that everything we've studied over the last 4 years and talked about on this program for the last 4 years leads to this October 28th period. And the reason I say that is because it's the beginning, it's the awakening. It's the awakening period that's talked about by the Mayans. And we're seeing it. We're seeing all of the predictions, the 2008 collapse, the 2006 problems, all of the problems that we've seen facing the world, all right, that were predicted, you know, 3,500 years ago when they wrote this thing, that these end times would bring about these kind of things. Now, the reason the only thing I wanted to say is that the cosmic awakening is apparent. It's happening right now.
Right.
But it'll extend, okay, to 2012. Now, we are not going to, we may not wind up in a cataclysmic end. However, when George and I have been studying these seismological episodes and the volcanoes that are happening and everything else that is being very, very underreported, it looks like the Earth is actually going through a very serious contraction, okay, a very serious period of a break. And we may see more of that next year. But the end of time...
Well, you talk about end of
time. The end of time. The end of time and space.
As we know it.
We know it. As we understand it in a third dimensional
a transition
thing.
To another period.
Let me ask you this. Isn't only Earth going through its 5,300 and whatever year cycle at this point? Is it? Earth and this galaxy the only one going through it? Isn't there other galaxies that are off to our left and off to our right that have already gone through it? I mean, I try to wrap my mind around this, and I really just can't. Now, I understand seismic events and stuff. I still consider heart may be in effect. Nuclear bombs underground. You know, Benjamin Fulford, he talks about a secret alliance in the Chinese secret societies that ultimately bombed an underground base there in Virginia that set off that fault. And then there's also things like fracking here in Ohio was just stopped due to the understanding
you're right.
It does make one liquid.
Let's look at this from a fractal point of view. It's like, it's not cynical like you were saying before with no beginning and no end. There is a beginning and there is an end. But, you know, in understanding that a fractal is an expression of the energy pattern, whatever you follow, just like every person has its own own code or its own fractal or is attached to its own energy source. And it the things that we do change the fractal, but, you know, it's just a change within the fractal itself. So, you know, something is always changing, and, you know, it's not a cynical constant. I mean, it changes as it goes along. So I'm saying right now we're come to a point where it's coming to a stop, and we're all opening a door and getting out of the friggin' box. And once we close the box, that closes us off from the universe, the whole cosmos, and trying to understand consciousness, you know, without any kind of physical substance other than just an energy source or a light.
But we're at it
now.
It's
we can use that light. We use that light now in projecting whatever we are, whatever draws us to it. And in this case, it's a human body. And understand that there have been religions, and they do talk about there are beings who actually take bodies, and some that don't take bodies. They don't need bodies. And extraterrestrials, I mean, there are abductions without a doubt, BJ. Believe me, I spent a good number of years in private research with that. But, you know, it's all a state of consciousness that's connected with a grouping. So, you know, we are just ending, you know, ending this reality that was started many, many, many years ago, that we're really not sure of how it got started, but we're just completing it in our own level, and that's part of our own reality that we experience from birth to death.
Are you with us there, Georgia?
I'm still here, yeah. So, yeah, it's...
Hey, guys.
Go on like this, but, DJ, do you have anything to say?
I'm sorry, go ahead, George.
No, do you have anything to say on that?
I just bounced back in, I actually have to hop off the line now here in a few minutes, but... I agree. I really see this as coming into a change. I see ancient history in a different light than modern science accepts it or than I was taught in school, et cetera. I think that there's a lot more to the story. I think that human beings are 100,000 years old rather than 20,000 years old or whatever have you.
Do you believe in prayer?
Their oldest can be – I'm sorry. Go ahead, George.
Do you believe in prayer?
I'm sorry, what's the last word? Do I believe in?
Prayer. Do you believe in prayer?
Prayer.
Oh, absolutely. I believe in the transfer of human energy, and I believe in the power of prayer. That would be similar or the same thing to me, yes.
No, the reason why I ask this is that, you know, to keep life very simple. I mean, there's different, many different initiations that a person goes through. But understanding prayer, prayer is just deep meditation. But actually, prayer is happiness. You have to be happy in your prayer. It's like water to a seed. I mean, you can have water, but you're not going to do anything. You have seed potential, but you need something to nourish it. And I'm saying happiness is part of that prayer when we turn ourselves to a thought or a purpose. It doesn't have to be 10 zillion seconds. It can be 2 or 3 seconds, and that's all you need. And it's like emotion or adding to it. So, you know, it's like when I see these rallies, and, you know, I'd be with you, my friend. You know, my heart is with you, and it's as much as I can give you right now, but gotta do.
Yeah, frequency, absolutely, when mad, science is even starting to reflect this. Frequency, when you're mad or when you're negative, is dense and long waves. When you're happy and when you're feeling positive, you emit short, high-frequency vibrations, and science is starting to reflect this. And, I mean, that's the same as prayer and being able to shoot that out through your thoughts and positivity, et cetera. So the power is there. Science is almost literally proving it, being that we're such physical beings nowadays. That's why the most of us are going to have a hell of a time
practice,
here.
Which is great. Lipton, you know, is one example. But understanding the DNA, we have the code. Greg Braden has written a book, The God Code, which is right on the money. In fact, he talks about the potentials and souls. It would be a good book you may like, PJ. Greg Braden. But a lot has been done in the field by scientists as these in breaking that field. And this illusion has been opened, and science, yes, believes. Yeah, you're right. You know, life is more than what we can make up and attest to. It's consciousness behind it, because whatever thought we put behind it, it's going to grow and grow. And, we believe that now. And
absolutely.
Let's see where this is going to take us. I mean, it's taken us to nanotechnology, where we have tiny artificial things in our body changing our DNA. And if you want to talk about the evil empire in a sense of, Darth Vader, understand that we've gone beyond that. And we are actually practicing that mentality now, and also creating life. I mean, it's been proven we can make life, and the only thing that gives it away is the watercolor markings that is in that unit that has to be put in it in grafting and so forth. You know, so they'll identify the organizer or the person who thought of that way of doing it, so he gets recognition. You know, it's part
absolutely.
Of this. It's ludicrous.
I do have to run here, guys. So just my final angle on this, and I absolutely agree with you. It's complete ludicrous in the control structure and this evilness. I don't see it lasting past 2012. I see 2012 as an actual marker where our technology exceeds our faith, and that's a point where either humans A, have to evolve, or B, are forced to evolve. Whether aliens make their actual landing December 28th, 2012, October 28th, 2012, 22nd, whatever it is. Or what have you, to force our consciousness into the next realm where the New World Order or these powers that be or the control structure doesn't have the ability. That's what I see 2012 as, where things no longer hold their weight in that evil structure that has held the grip on this Mother Earth for too long, to the point where even Gaia or Mother Earth is looking to shake her fleas. I do think we make it past this. I like the program, guys. I love your topics. That's just my take on it. I'll leave you with that. I do have to hop off air. I will listen to the archives, so I will catch the rest of your show. If you guys want to check me out, I'm at FloHatRadio.com. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night, PJ.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll be with
well,
you, my friend.
George, I think the one
thing
that...
I think 2008,
that
we talked a lot about what he was looking for.
That he did leave out, you know, all the changes that could happen on the 28th was, you know, the one that we could have would be the polar shift.
Right.
And that could happen at that time, too.
That's true. But I think that's probably closer to the 212 thing. But the right now we're undergoing this tremendous awakening that can be no doubt that it's happening. That's why we're seeing it around the world. It's a global revolution.
I think it's wonderful.
It's a global revolution, and you know, as soon as we break, I say break. The chains of this censored media, all right? The censored media.
And
fake financial system. And I'm advocating an entire debt amnesty, all right? Where, you know, the entire world just says, fuck the debt, all right? Wipe out all the banks. That immediately wipes out all the banks. All right, and you're starting from square one.
Start a new system.
That's right.
Yeah, but you know what? To be truthful, the way Mother Nature is penning it out here, I think what we have to keep in mind is our own survival, and that's the problem. I mean, I don't know how my friend Rod down in Texas is living with it. You know, the drought that these people have been experiencing. You know. It's terrible.
Well, George, do you see that we'll have the complete polar shift? Do you think that's what's going to happen?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess by the physics of it, I mean,
yeah.
how can it not? But,
yeah.
You know,
well, I think NASA has pronounced that it's happening already. That this would happen, and also that it would be that we would see a period of the sun would be darkened, the sun would go dark. And oddly enough, they also stated that the way we would survive is through greenhouse, our own greenhouse gases. All right?
Yeah.
All right? Because that would allow us to at least stay similarly warm, even without the sun. But, I mean, how long that would last, it's impossible to last too long because you'd be in, you know, without the sun, everything would die. But the remarkable thing about it, George, is that we're seeing this time frame that was predicted, and we're seeing everything happen. And we got another caller, believe it or not. Let's see, 972. Let's just go and see who that is. 972, you're on the air.
Hello. Just to add to the confusion, I thought I'd call in and ask if this end that we're looking forward to is the end of the human question. And I think of that as the human, rather, I pronounce it the who man.
Who
am I? Where am I? Where do I come from? And
I think
we're going to stop being humans and begin the new man equation.
By the way,
George, this is Rod.
Yeah, I know. I recognize you, Rod. But, you know, I think that's happening, Rod, even as we are talking, and it's part of the energies of the sun that is doing it to us. I mean, our DNA is changing, and it's changing in front of our eyes, and we're more apt to experience now reality as this illusion is being uncovered, you know. But I think we're affected by that, yeah.
I think so, too.
We're definitely into the new who-man instead of humans.
I like that.
Well, it's a fun thing to play with. I've played with it for a long time, that the aberration was human became, and it should have been human all along, because in the scriptures they always talk about man, not human.
Yeah.
As PJ was talking about man being 100,000 years old, it could be that you and me that survived these other lifetimes was not actually a human, but another species that was here.
Yeah,
although the consciousness was the same.
Yeah.
So I just leave.
What do you think that could have been, Rod?
Well, I don't answer that question. I just realized that I may not know the whole story, except that I was there, and I have memories of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes to ask that question is to ask the wrong question, because if you're asking the wrong question, it means you're not getting the right information.
That's true. But you know what's fascinating, though? Because what you're saying is right on, Rod. And because how, even though, like, some people will come up with we've been around for 5 million years.
They don't know that.
We don't know that, but the thing that, the fact that it actually registers with us as a potential, as a possibility, it may be linking that to a 5,000-year-old memory, a 5-million-year-old memory within us. We don't know how long, we've been around.
For that person.
And we may have,
not necessarily with me.
Well, what eternity resonates with you. The thought of eternity, the thought of immortality, the thought of the spirit, so that all of these words and archetypes and concepts register with us. So if they're registering with us, there must be some predisposition that we have that accepts those words or those concepts. You know, otherwise they would mean nothing to us. You know what I mean?
They're passed on in our DNA.
Not really. We would just customize and put them in. The story. We would just write them in, that's all.
No, we write them in, but I think they've already been written. And our DNA, I think we're part of this. And I think we've evolved for billions of years. I mean, for eternity, who knows? I mean, infinite. We could be as old as God. I mean, you know, let's face it. Nobody knows how old creation is, or how long we've been around. All right, and physically we know how long we've been here, but spiritually we have no idea. And you know, some people can go back 20, 30 lifetimes in some past regression. I personally have gone back 10, and I could have gone back more, but I got exhausted, okay, living through 10 other lifetimes. But and I really didn't want to go any further back. But you can do this, and it's happening everywhere, and people have done this, and there's proof of it. But I think we're spirits, just having a human experience, as you say, George. And we've had one for many, 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 many years, many millennium. And all of this stuff we're talking about just so registers because we've been there and we understand it. And it's just being remembered, you know, in our minds so we can talk about it and it comes clearer to us and makes us say, wow, yeah, we've been here before, you know.
At this point, in the front of my house, I just put a new retaining wall by my garage. And on top of it, I have my rock garden. And this rock garden consists of rocks that I've been collecting over the last 30 years. Rod?
Yeah.
Are you still there? I think you have given me a rock or two in my collection.
Well, I have. You remember when I moved from New York to Texas?
The shell.
I brought something like four or five large milk cartons full of rocks to Texas with me.
For just a second, because I have to sign off here. We're losing our airtime. We're losing our stream. So you can stay on the air and we'll talk a little more. But for all of those of you who are listening right now, we'll be losing our stream in about 50 seconds or so. You can call in at 646-915-9505 and talk to us further or join the conversation or just listen.
Thank you for tuning in. God be with you, my friends.
646-915-9505.
Well, I remember collecting rocks way back then, and I've had small gardens throughout the years, but I really have a nice garden for them here. And it really felt good to get them all out, you know. I got rocks and crystals that people had given to me, and I remember in lectures throughout the years, I used to bring rocks as witnesses so people can handle and feel and get a feeling about. And if nothing, it's to touch the vibration of the area, and it helped me with, BJ would like this, of trying to focus in on some of the alien abductees. You know, I would give them a rock, and the rock would basically identify with aliens of that sort or information that I've run across. So it was like a witness, like a crystal is a witness. So, you know, over the years I've collected and kept these, and, you know, it's great to see them again. But for so many years I felt so possessive of them, you know, they meant something to me. But, you know, they're really not mine. And I made a habit that when my friends come over, their kids come over, I tell them the kids can go out there in the garden and pick out three rocks. And normally they'll go out there for a half hour and, you know, pick out three and come back. And Uncle George, can I have this, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it was nice. And my belief, they weren't mine to begin with. But, you know, it's what more can I do in just passing them on, including some of these Mexican crystals, you know, that cost hundreds of money, but that's okay. You know, it's not mine to begin with, but if somebody can appreciate it, enjoy it, I'll be with it. But, you know, it's like I'm putting it out now before the end of time, if you'd want to call it that. And it's like, you know, I've done with it. You know, I want to give it full exposure, and after that, what happens? You know, it's a great time. And I find myself in a lot of what I'm doing. It's like I'm saying goodbye to things that you know, for the last time, but I'm not. If you know what I'm talking about. And it's a great feeling of not having not doing something I should have done, you know, or that guilt complex. But it's more of, you know, I'm able to at least finally finish something. And I really feel part of my life and the life that we're living right now is the ending of something that was great. And yet it's time now to move on to greater things. And I really feel this is what the Mayans were talking about. I mean, it's not linear in a sense. It's going to happen on such and such a day. I mean, astrology would tell you. It's more of an emotional feeling or an energy that, you know, just doesn't come upon you. It slowly comes within your field. It's like gravity. You know, the closer you get, the more you gravitate toward it. So, you know, I'm glad to, you know, to experience this and all those small things in my life. How about you, Lila? Any small things catch your attention?
Well, as I said, the one thing that got my attention was the fact that people are mobilizing on Wall Street, and I like that. That's made me very happy.
I think it's
a global movement. And although PJ was a little bit upset that people were mobilizing because they were financially hurt, I think people have to start somewhere. And from there, to infinity and beyond.
You have to reach, it's like everything, in order to understand fractions, you have to start at the lowest common denominator.
You've got to start with the number line.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where a lot of people are, and that's okay. I had to start at the number line, too.
We all do, and mm-hmm. where it hurts most, right in the pocket or, you know, whatever. Whatever your common denominator is what it takes, and that's what's happening. Where everything is so fallen down. I mean, the housing market, the financial market, the medicine, the cost of meds, the inaccessibility to healthcare, all of these things that people need, okay, to survive. Food, just the access to food and gasoline and basic transportation.
I'm just glad to see so many people interested in that.
People are starting to say, this is killing us. We can't go on like this. Something has to happen. And when they see their tax monies going, instead of repairing the roads and repairing the bridges and giving them better schools for their kids and so on, they're seeing it going in the pockets of some acid trillionaire, a billionaire, all right?
All right, so what I'm saying in your prayers, instead of thinking about the people who are getting away with the money on this,
it's
more of thinking, praying, what can we do to overcome this, or what can we do after this is all over with?
That's the important question. That's the right question. By the way, I don't know if it was reported up there, but there were several hundred people protesting the Fed here in Dallas today.
Good.
There you go.
They were in the streets there, and there were other cities all over the country where they did the same thing, wherever they had a Federal Reserve.
That's right. They've been doing it in Chicago, New York,
Washington,
Boston.
And then moved on to San Francisco.
Because what people are petitioning for is they're petitioning for social justice, not just for themselves, but for their neighbors and for the rest of the people in the world, because that Federal Reserve is worldwide. We have all those banksters all across the world stealing from humanity.
Stealing from the American taxpayer, basically.
I agree 100%. The Fed has to go. I'm all in favor of that. But the beginning of it is to start prosecuting these people rather than letting them go.
I agree with you, Rod.
And so that starts at grassroots. You've got to control your local judges. Make them start being honest again. Pursuing graft.
Let them
go all the way to the top from locally.
And you got to go to the Supreme Court. I mean, it's to get rid of the goddamn crooks up there.
But those crooks up there come from down here. And how they beat us in the first place. They got control of the small guys, and they slowly promoted them up through the ranks to where they got them now.
That's right. But you see,
it's funny, years ago, I remember, the movie on TV or the shows on TV, what are you going to do? Cop shows where, they arrest people and, all the rights that we thought they had, they didn't have. And yet, it wasn't real. At the very end, they would say, the person is innocent from proven guilty. But, they got away with it. And they got away with the roughness without,
George,
giving the rights.
That one expression that
courts have been doing the same thing. the courts are going to have to answer for this stuff. And you see what's going on with Michael Jackson in his case, but understand that Judge Judy, she wouldn't get away from that in a regular court. But here again, maybe you can get away with that stuff, and maybe that's what's happening. The shenanigans is coming to the surface, and people have had enough of that.
Well, that program Cops has been on the air for years. That's terrible. They've been stepping on everybody's rights for years, and it become a big hit, and people think that's the way it's supposed to be now.
And that's what people accept. You're absolutely right. Now, you've hit on a point that I think is very important. Hollywood is tied up with the globalists and the banksters and the people that want control. They send out there all of the stuff that's going to happen to us. The fact that people's rights are trampled on, and that's what's happening today. We have no rights. And George, I'd also like to tell you, it's never been true that you're innocent until proven guilty in this country. Because
you have
to hire a high-powered lawyer in order to prove your innocence, and you're damn lucky if you can afford it. And if you can't, you get some shyster lawyer who just goes through the motions, and you're guilty anyway. You better
rights is spelled with a dollar sign for the S at the end of it.
You're right. And I remember covering this in the Mayan calendar in the 30 periods when we went bankrupt and belly up. The country went bankrupt. Along with that, our rights were taken away from us. From that time on, we were under admiralty law. So, you know, what rights we thought we had, we don't have. And, you know, we can talk about the Federal Reserve is not a part of the government. It's a private branch. And now it's a matter of their worthless money is not working with the rest of the world. And as you see, what is a euro compared to the American dollar now? $1.43?
Yeah,
you need of American money?
The problem is
after next month it'll be worth shit. So, you know, I don't think you have to worry about the euro.
I think that's done, to tell you the truth. I really do, because if each of those countries had their own money, they could reset the value of their money, and they can't do that. Having the euro has centralized that, and what's good for one country is not good for eight other countries.
Right.
And you can't, if you're having a problem in Germany or in Greece, say, you can't move to Germany and restart your life. Can't do that.
There's got to be another way, Lila. I don't know what it is, you know, but I'm saying we have to go to another way because this is wrong and it's not working. So in the meanwhile, we got to close this one out or bring this crash to an end and start up anew. Now, of course, not with the same people, that's for sure. I mean, what we should do now is limit politicians and the working in governments. We can spend a couple nights on that alone. But, you know, things have to change, and I think right now what's happening is that the people are making their mark on their representatives because they have to answer for what they're doing. And I'll tell you, in foreign worlds, they deal with their politicians a little different than we deal. I mean, it's not a career there, even though it's a career year, and it's got to change.
I've always advocated having an open season on anybody one day a year. it would only take a couple of open seasons for people to start learning how to get along.
If they didn't like a politician, they tarred and feathered them.
You're right, but there are some other ways, and I don't know what they are right now, but let's keep it open, okay? Have faith. Have faith in humanity. There's another way out of this, but we just have to find it. Give it peace. Give peace a chance, please.
There's one thing to look forward to. When it all busts, if it all busts, who is going to be in worse shape without money? You and me or the person who has always had an abundance of money? Because he's never learned people's skills or communication or respect for his fellow man.
That's right, yeah.
Living in a $100 million mansion is going to be seriously freaking hurting when money is worthless, isn't he?
Well, it'll be tough on him when you give him a slab of meat and tell him to go home and cook it himself and he's not able to.
Really.
I look at it, he has to eat that castle that he has, and the price of fuel nowadays, wow. You know, I look at some of these Victorian homes, you know, 2, 3, 4 stories tall. I hate to pay their old fuel bill every year, you know. It's crazy.
Well, I wish you could be down here.
Going down, right?
I wish
I wish you could see Texas and what's going down here.
Is it terrible?
These fantastic churches that they're building, these fellowship churches of, you know, thousands of congregation members. Some of the poorest people you can imagine go into those churches, and the church is just bleeding them dry. But, I mean, these churches, they got to be costing $3 or $4 million to build them.
Wow.
Well, and it's always been, you know, people feel like they give what they have and they'll be able to get through those pearly gates.
Well,
you know,
they're taught that if they give, and according to how much they give, they'll be rewarded here or there. And that's just wrong.
It's a, you know, praise Jesus and pass the plate.
Yeah,
I mean, that's always the way it's been.
Yeah, they say you're supposed to get tenfold back.
Yeah, right.
So you give a dollar and you get 10 back somewhere down the line.
Through your own discernment, you can see the difference. And, you know, if you're going to give your faith to somebody else in a wolf suit, you know, you deserve the consequences. But, you know, some people haven't had the ability to direct themselves because they have been directed by the time of childhood. So, you know, do you blame them or do you blame
George, I have to step you back there. You said they deserve the consequences. That's where you and I disagree. I don't believe that they necessarily deserve those consequences because they haven't been in a position to hear what you've heard and what I've heard. And I'm hoping today.
And they're not listening to our show.
You know, with this big movement on Wall Street, you know, that's energized people in a lot of different areas, that people's minds will open up to the possibility.
And remember the Hopi end time prophecy stated that people will go when the blue star comes. People will go to the blue star. They'll be pulled to the blue star and they'll go freely. But there will be others who won't. And they'll refuse to go. They'll be too tied to this earth.
That's right.
And too tied to that. And they'll be, and he called it the red star. But they'll be tied to this planet. So that's okay. And I guess that's what we have to understand.
Some will
go and some will stay.
It doesn't mean it'll be the same if they stay either.
No, it doesn't. It'll be very different on this earth. But those people who are ready to go, those people who are ready to transition, will just do. It won't even be a thought. They'll just be jumping into it, and that'll be it. And that's how I feel. And I know that's how you feel, George. And Rod, I'm expecting you feel that same way, that, hey, you know, when the time comes, I expect to be ready for it. I'm just, you know, waiting for it.
Well, the right thing to do and the heaven scenario is not the same for each of us. It varies amongst us. And I have mixed feelings about what you're talking about. I think the people will go where they belong, though.
Yes, I think you're right. And wherever they're pulled to go, you know.
Rod, I'm looking right now up in my bureau. Philosophy I have here.
Oh, that's an interesting.
Can you bring back
book.
Any memories?
Well, that was my dad's favorite, and he followed that philosophy and religion for most of his life. But there is some interesting things to say about the 26,000 year cycle and the coiling and uncoiling of the serpent.
Yes.
there. And there is a wonderful explanation about the creation of the cosmos in there, which is more extensive than almost any religious work. It's a fantastic book. And the writing of it, you know, it was written through automatic writing the year the typewriter was invented.
Yeah. This is theosophy we're talking about, right?
Philosophy, yes.
Theosophy, right? Yeah. Okay.
It was Ray Bradbury was a big promoter of that book while he was living.
Yeah.
But
you know, Rod, we had Ross Hamilton on a couple months ago.
Yeah, I heard
those
broadcasts.
And he wrote about the serpent mounds in Ohio.
Yeah,
and,
he was very
interesting. I think he talked to him and I privately. We talked to him in the Oswego. You know, some of the beliefs, but it's more of a Western view of the sky, just like the Chinese. You know, it's something that I didn't have any a lot of knowledge about. But I have to say, I'm getting up early in the morning. I'm going to watch this meteor shower that's coming in. And this is a draconian shower, I believe. And they expect 700.
That's always fun.
Yeah. Well, I got my telescope handy, but I don't know how the weather is going to be earlier in the morning. And the moon is.
What time is that, George?
What's that?
What time?
Well,
is it supposed...
said early in the morning, so I'm looking at from about 3 o'clock on.
Oh, good.
Oh, very good. Well, guys, it's been a lot of fun talking to you tonight. And, of course, George and Rod, it's a pleasure having you call again. I appreciate your input all the time.
Well, it's nice having you guys around. I appreciate you being there to call.
Well, thanks. And, that's about it.
I hope you guys have a great weekend,
yeah. And
I hope all of our listeners do. It's supposed to be nice in New England.
80 degrees here tomorrow. We're looking forward to that.
A beautiful Columbus Day weekend, and I hope others enjoy it.
Well, good night. God bless
you. Be with
all.
You, Rod. Lila, Leo. Peace be with you, my friends.
You too,
yep,
guys.
You too.